You are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Indeed, you're powered by the SID Media. So now when you open your Bibles and then you go to the book of Ephesians 6, verses 10 to 18, that is where we find the armor of God. And I'm going to read it because it's one of my favorite, right? Before we get into our conversation today that we're going to be looking at. So Ephesians 6 verses 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggles is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the days of evils come, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled round your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all of this, take the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. This is one of my favorite verses, right? So that is Ephesians 6 verses 10. So now I read what my producer said to me. So the metaphorical concept of the armor of God is a powerful and significant symbol in Christian teachings, representing the spiritual protection and strength that believers are called to rely on their daily lives. So we are joined on the line by my Elder Franklin Bawoba, who's going to be helping us to understand this. My Elder, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. How are you?
I am good, Mdala. I hope you are well.
I am well. This is an interesting topic that we are going to be embarking on mm-hmm. for this particular week, and I am pleased to be a part of the conversation.
Yes, indeed. So before we start the last part, they say pray. So I'm going to ask that, can you please pray for us before we get into the conversation?
Okay, let us pray. Father Lord, we want to thank you for this conversation that we're going to get into. Dear Lord, there are a lot of listeners that are listening to this program. And as we discuss it, dear God, may you give us the light that only comes from sitting at the feet of Jesus. Dear Father, be with us and help us to really go into it deeply and gain as much spiritual insight as we can. Just let me pray. Amen.
Amen and amen. So I've just read that whole scripture there, and yes, I do love it, right? But what does the armor of God represent, in Christian teachings, and why is it considered a significant metaphor?
Okay, so maybe let's start off with the context. You know, this is Paul writing to the Ephesians, and at that time they were under the Roman Empire. And so with the Romans, the way they wore their armor was very significant. You know, for a conquering army, you can imagine you've been conquered by these guys. And when you look at their armor, you see how they were victorious. So already the fact that he was talking to a symbol that they could see, the Christians then, and I hope as we go into this, we'll also get to see the vision that the Ephesians were seeing. Not only that, it also reminds us, because wearing armor means that you are in a war. Mm-hmm. There is a war that is going on, and it's not against flesh and blood. I want us to remember that.
Yeah.
It is beyond what we can see. So sometimes you're looking maybe at your marriage and things are not going well, and sometimes you're thinking, hey, maybe it's because we're not communicating, and yet it's actually the devil that is attacking you. Sometimes you're looking at your life and you're looking at the things that you're going through, and it's the devil that is assaulting you. So this is a reminder to us as Christians. We are in a war, in a big war that is bigger than us. And so the armor is necessary.
So looking at how when we're looking at the arm of God and how it's being described, right, it looks like an imagery of a soldier. So how does it now, you know, help convey the idea of spiritual protection and strength to believers? I remember there's this other preacher that I once listened to. They were preaching about the armor of God. And when they were painting that picture of that Roman soldier, and I got to see it. But then now, how does it now convey, you know, the idea of spiritual protection?
So you discover something about this armor, and again, I wish we could have it in our minds. This is, imagine this tall giant, this big man that is wearing an iron armor, that is wearing a breastplate that is made of iron to protect his chest and his vital organs. Look at them as they buckle up that belt that holds the entire armor together. Not only that, there is this huge sword that is by their side, and they are already wearing their sandals and shoes that are ready for war. So now when you come back, you discover that each and every one of those elements, first of all, they deal with the defense of the soldier. You're being defended. So in case there's an arrow that is shot at you and it's supposed to hit your head, you've got a helmet that is in place to protect you. If someone was to strike you or try to strike at you with a sword or the arrows, you had a shield to protect you. You also had this sword that you could fight using. So in essence, it's coming back and saying, hey, this armor of God, and remember, I want to underline this idea, it's not our armor, it is the armor of God.
It is
given to us. It is given to us by grace. So it is not of our works, but it is actually God that is imbuing us with that protection. So he has looked at everything and he says, hey, my kids are going to have a problem. They are going to have to fight this bigger enemy, and I need to protect them. So, dear friend, wear your breastplate as a way of protecting yourself. So number one is defense. Number two, it also shows your readiness. And this is the part that I need us to note. It shows our unwavering vigilance and commitment to these Christian ideals that are portrayed by each of the components that that are part of this arm.
So looking at it, we are told about the helmet, we are told about the shoes, we are told about the breastplate, the belt. You know, what is the symbolism behind each of those pieces in the armor of God? I mean, like I remember the other day someone was like, but why is the belt the truth? You know, because you're trying to like, wait, why is the belt the truth? You know, why now is the breastplate, you know, righteousness? Someone like, maybe there is a symbolism behind them. So what would that be, my elder?
All right. So just going through the different components. Number one, you've already mentioned the belt of truth. So you notice with the Roman soldier, as they secured up their armor, you'd have the belt hold everything in place. So just as it is for us, the truth that is the believer's commitment to living and upholding God's truth holds everything in place. Now you'll notice that as well. You've got your breastplate of righteousness, and again, this if for the soldier, it protected their vital organs from attack. And for us, the breastplate of righteousness represents the protection afforded by living the life of righteousness through Christ's justification and sanctification. I want us to note that it is not our righteousness, it is the righteousness that Christ has for us. You remember, if you go to the book of Corinthians, second letter to the Corinthians, chapter 5, verses 21, where Christ comes in and Paul is saying to us, he was made sin for us who knew no sin, such that we may be made the righteousness of God. So the breastplate is a reminder to you that you are saved by grace and through faith, and that righteousness is of Christ. So that is the breastplate of righteousness. If you look at the shoes of the gospel of peace, these were shoes. So if you imagine the soldiers already, they've put up their sandals that are designed to be light enough for long marches. and at the same time strong enough to withstand the stones and the thorns that they may find on the way. So the shoes of the gospel of peace signify for us the readiness and the stability that is provided by the gospel, which enables us to stand firm in our faith. Mm. Mm. So that's now the shoes. You know, think of the shield. Again, I want us to go back to the Roman soldier, because the shield was large enough to protect their entire body.
Yes.
From arrows, from spears, and so forth. So the shield of faith represents the believer's trust in God's promises, which is able to extinguish for us all spiritual attacks and temptations. You know, you may be going through difficult times. You may face losses in the family. You may face losses to you personally, financially, whatever it is. Your shield of faith, your belief and trust in God, the belief that even as you go through the darkest of times, the heart of God still wants a better future for you.
Mm.
That gives you the stability to stand. It helps you to withstand those attacks.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then when you now look at the helmet, you know, there's something that is very interesting. You know, the devil is always looking to find a way to make us doubt God's love, to leave us in despair and in depression. So the helmet of salvation now, just as it protected the soldier's head, the most critical part of his body, the spiritual helmet of salvation signifies the assurance of salvation. It protects us. You know, when the devil comes in and says, but you're a sinner, you're this and that, you've got a helmet of faith that assures you that you're saved. And you're saved in knowing Jesus Christ.
Mm.
And then finally, the one last thing, which is the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God.
Yeah.
Now, note, in the entirety of the armor, it is the only one that is both for defense and attack.
Okay.
And when you look at it, if we already told that it is the Word of God. The Word of God, if you remember, if you go to the book of Hebrews, which we're told that it can divide asunder. It can go through and separate the bone and the marrow, the intentions and the actions. It can reveal your intentions, as it were, the intentions of the heart. So God gave us this particular offensive weapon, which represents the Word of God, of course, which is supposed to protect us from temptation, but also a way for us to move forward and fight for the kingdom of God through the truth and righteousness.
Mm, 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 mm. So looking at the concept of the armor of God, how does it now emphasize the importance of being spiritually equipped and prepared for spiritual warfare? Because we can look at it rather like, no, it has nothing to do with spiritual warfare, but like, there is war here. There is war on this particular one, right? So how does it help us now to know that, Zanele, always be ready, always be ready, because you are not fighting against flesh and blood?
You know, there's something that I like. One of my favorite authors actually comes up and goes into this idea where the Ephesians were living in the midst of idolatry and the luxury of hedonism.
Mm.
And they were surrounded by these sensual temptations, which we seem to be exposed to today.
Mm.
And so when you look at the issue of wearing the armor of God, the Christian armor is not to be laid off for a moment, not even for a single moment. Why? Because the devil is roaming around looking for whom he may devour.
Mm.
He's giving us this idea that if you relax, if you can enjoy the world, he wants to take you away. He wants to flood you away. But you see, the armor says you are in war. You never take it off. If you are a soldier on duty, you cannot take off that armor because you are afraid that at any given time an arrow can come through and pierce through. Now imagine the soldiers in active battles. You know, you've got these wars that are going on. Believe me, there is no soldier that wants to take off his helmet in the battleground because he's afraid that by chance a bullet might hit my head.
Mm.
So you're supposed to always be ready,
yeah,
vigilant, always knowing that the the things that we're facing are greater than us.
Mm. I always I'm speaking about the armor of God, I feel like we speak for the whole 2 hours, but time is not really on our side. You know, it's not our side. But then now, in what ways does now the armor of God, you know, illustrate the comprehensive nature of the Christian faith and the attributes believers are called to embody?
So sorry about that. I did not get the question correctly. I just, you know, taken off line.
Okay.
If you could just come again.
Yeah. Okay. Can you hear me now?
Yes, I can.
All right. Cool. So I was saying that in what ways now does the armor of God illustrate the comprehensive nature of the Christian faith and the attributes believers are called to embody?
Yeah. So. So notice that there the attributes that are highlighted by mm-hmm. this armor, for example, the attributes such as truth, such as righteousness, such as the gospel of peace, faith, salvation, and the word of God, all these attributes cannot be isolated virtues.
Mm.
You'll notice that they're interconnected. For you to be able to stand by the righteousness by faith, you need to know the truth.
Mm.
You need the word of God to understand that you are saved by grace, that the righteousness is not yours, but Christ. Remember that for you to have faith, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the what? By the word of God.
Yes.
Also, you remember that you are salvation in itself is based on truth, on righteousness, on faith, and on the word of God. So all these come together, and they are in their multifaceted way to express this big truth, that Christian life is not about one thing. It's about embodying everything in a holistic aspect, which results in us living a life of faith.
Okay. All right. Okay. So it's going to be quite an interesting one, but today we have to end it here as we're preparing also for the week of prayer. I'm going to ask my elder that please do pray for us that, you know, what we've learned today, we really go home and study more, and then that we are blessed throughout the whole week as we get to know more about the armor of God.
All right. Let us pray. Father Lord, you've been so kind to us to allow us to have this lesson. Dear God, help us to stand firm. Help us to stand our ground fully girded with the armor of God. Father, as we get into the different components, as we get into the deeper understanding of this armor, Father, we pray that we may not just hear to just learn, but hear so that we may live out the truths. Father, we pray, bless us now and bless us go through the week discussing this issue. Just let me pray. Amen.
Amen and amen. Thank you so much, Mdala. May you have yourself a blessed day.
Thank you so much. Have a great day yourself.
Amen.
You are tuned into Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.